The Old Testament reading for the 20th Sunday after Trinity is from Isaiah chapter 55. Hey, all of you who are thirsty, come to the water, even if you have no money. Come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why do you spend money on something that is not bread? Why do you waste your labor on something that does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. Satisfy your appetite with rich food. Turn your ear toward me and come to me. Listen so that you may continue to live. Yes, I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the faithful mercies promised to David. Look, I appointed him as a witness for peoples, a leader and commander of peoples. Look, you who will call out to a nation who you do not know, and a nation that does not know you will run to you on account of the Lord your God, because of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked man abandon his way. Let an evil man abandon his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will show him mercy. Let him turn to our God, because he will abundantly pardon. Certainly my plans are not your plans, and your ways are not my ways, declares the Lord. Just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my plans are higher than your plans. This is the word of the Lord. It's a part of our human nature that we like to fix things. Whenever there might be a problem, let's figure out a way to fix it. So if you are naked, go make some clothes. If there's pain with childbirth, let's give an epidural. If there's oppression against women, let's start a movement. If the work is heavy or boring, let's get some hydraulics or robotics. If thorns and thistles come up, let's spray some Roundup. If there's sweat on our brow, let's fire up the air conditioner. If we are to turn back into dust, then let's get the formaldehyde. Whatever the problem might be, we figure there must be a way to eliminate it or at least make it better. Because we are more or less successful at eliminating problems, we come to believe that we must be doing all right. Our civilization is doing quite well. All the different parts keep humming along. The future looks bright because we've been able to solve problems in the past. Surely we will be able to solve some more in the future. But all of this problem solving has only to do with one side of life. It has to do with created things. We manipulate the created things of this world in order to bring about our desired outcomes. What about the other side of life? What about the things that have to do with our Creator? Are there problems there? Certainly. But here we can see another way of dealing with things besides fixing them. We can also ignore things. This has been the natural strategy with God from the beginning. As soon as Adam and Eve came to believe that there was no way that God could be their friend any longer, they tried to put God out of mind. God had said, you will surely die. And the devil said, you won't surely die. And Adam and Eve hoped that the devil was right. Then they got busy fixing what they took to be problems. First things first, let's cover up this nakedness. That will make us more comfortable and secure. And then let's figure out other ways to make ourselves more comfortable. When God started to walk through the garden in the cool of the day, it sounded horrible to Adam and Eve. They worked even harder at ignoring God by climbing into some bushes. This is so typical and programmatic for how we deal with God particularly when we have fallen into sin. When we know and feel our sin, we want to stay away from God just like a criminal wants to stay away from the police station. The criminal doesn't want to get caught. Sinners don't want to get caught. Maybe, just maybe, we'll get away with it. Let's hope so. In the meantime, let's get busy trying to get some more money so that we can buy ourselves some more comfort. Maybe if we can get more comfortable, we can just forget about all this God business. But God still exists, whether we ignore him or not. Whereas we might be very impressed with ourselves and the way that we can fix problems, God is not impressed. We might think that we are at the pinnacle of civilization, achieving great things. God is totally bored with our fumbling and bumbling. Like an adult watches a toddler play with blocks, that's how God looks at us with our nanotechnology and nuclear reactors. God has an expectation of us as his creatures. And it's not that we would know many things about many things, or be able to do this, that, or the other thing with his creation. Of all his creatures, human beings are the only ones whom he has made in his own image. Human beings are the only ones who can hear him, believe him, and pray, praise, and give thanks. That is what God intends for his people, because God intends good things for his people. And that was how we were made to be. In our gospel reading, Jesus spoke about a landowner who planted a vineyard, and he took good care of that vineyard. He put a wall around it, and he dug a wine press for it, and he built a watchtower to keep it safe. These words of Jesus's would have been quite familiar to the Jews who were listening to him speak, because quite famously, the prophet Isaiah, hundreds of years before, used that same picture to describe the relationship that existed between God and his people. God chose the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to be his people, and he put them in the vineyard of Canaan. He put them in a vineyard that he himself had made, and he made it quite safe and secure, and he took away anything that would adulterate and ruin it. But as Isaiah said, instead of sweet clusters of grapes, it only produced sour grapes. The Lord had an expectation from this vineyard of his that he had planted, but that vineyard didn't produce anything good. What God would have us produce as his vine is, first and foremost, faith. We should believe in him. We should not ignore him. We should not go after other gods who promise to give us comfort, peace, and happiness. Faith is the fountain and source from which all other spiritual goods must come. Without faith, everything else is going to be hypocritical, shallow, and self-serving. Another fruit that God would have us produce as his vine is happiness in God's word. We should want to hear and learn more about God. We should want to learn about how he has dealt with his people in the past and how he deals with his people now, and learn what he has in store for his people in the future. What an amazing thing it is that we, his creatures, either have no desire to hear God's word, or else such a coldness about learning about our Creator. We'd much rather spend our time doing this, that, or the other thing. No matter how important these other earthly things might be, they are necessarily trifles compared to God's word. So we should take in God's word. We should also send our words to him. It's kind of like breathing in and breathing out. We breathe in, we take in God's word and will. We should also breathe out. We should call upon his name in every trouble and pray, praise, and give thanks. Just as human beings can't be healthy and vigorous if they are only breathing in or only breathing out, so also our spiritual life is quite hampered if we are either only breathing in or only breathing out. Either breathing in only by learning and learning and no praying, or by breathing out with praying but no receiving of God's grace in his word. There needs to be both. We must hear God speak to us. We must speak back to him. The good fruit that is to be produced in God's vineyard is this relationship with God. We are to believe in him. We are to hear him. We are to speak to him. That's all that God wants from us. He couldn't care less about all our other accomplishments. They do not impress him. Insofar as they are good, they come from him anyway. Instead, we should become like a little child with him. We should love him, listen to him, and speak to him in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. This is what it meant to be created in God's image. The reason why God sent his only begotten Son was to restore that image that was lost through sin, to reconcile us to God, so that we could gladly be his creature and he could be our God. Without Christ, it is impossible for the vine to produce good fruit. Now that we know about this other side of our life, the side that has to do with our Creator, the side that we are so prone to ignore, we might start to think about ways that we can solve this problem too. Our old Adam is a Mr. Fix-It. He always hopes that he can fix things up in a jiffy. Barring that, he believes in his whole heart that if only we try hard enough and never give up, we'll be able to fix it. While this might be true somewhat with earthly things, but even here I'm quite skeptical, it's definitely not the case with our relationship with God. We can't fix problems like that by applying ourselves. When it comes to our relationship with God, there's no self-help that will work. This relationship flows from faith, and there's no way to have true faith unless the Lord himself should give it to you. And there's no way to try harder and try to create faith within ourselves. Doing that kind of thing might produce something, but it's not going to be true faith. It might indeed produce something that you hope to be faith, because you want to believe that you won't be condemned, but it's a far cry from the real deal. True faith is something that is created by God, and something that is not dependent upon us or upon our efforts or our fixing. And since we're so used to operating that way in all other areas of life, when we hear that faith is not something that we can create for ourselves, it kind of jams up the gears in our brain. Nevertheless, that's indeed how God works. He works faith in his word. Consider our Old Testament reading. God says, "Hey, all of you who are thirsty, come to the water, even if you have no money. Even though you have no money, come and buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost." How can you buy something without money? How can you purchase something that has no cost? You might think that God is just speaking gobbledygook, but I assure you he's not. He's making a very important point about our relationship with God and about faith. When it comes to that relationship, we don't have any merit or worthiness in us. We don't have any money, you might say. We're poor as paupers. And there's no amount of effort or tears or sacrifice that can fix this relationship, no matter how pious or churchy those efforts might appear to be. Everything comes from God. He's the one who establishes the covenant. He's the one who provides the atoning sacrifice. He's the one who will even give us faith as a gift in his promises. Since it is all his doing, it is just a matter of making a happy announcement. And that's what's going on in that Isaiah reading. It's a happy announcement, which is completely one-sided and completely good. God is providing everything that's necessary. He's giving water to the thirsty. He gives wine and milk without money, without cost. What he has to say is able to satisfy one's soul, establishing that relationship with our Creator. Incline your ear to what he has to say, and he will fill it up. Make sure that you don't let this opportunity pass you by. Call upon him while he is near, this word of God that's coming to you. God is establishing his relationship with you. The only way that we can really appropriate and appreciate this message is when we are no longer trying to fix our relationship with God. If we're trying to fix this relationship with God, we'll never receive this as a gift, which is the only way that it can really be received. If we still think that we have some merit or worthiness, if we only try harder, that we'll be able to fix things, then we won't get it. Our fixing of things is always tainted. It's always seeking self-advantage, even when we're talking about things that have to do with God. We're always seeing how we can use him and then just get what we want, and then we won't have to do all those other things, instead of being filled with God's Spirit that produces good fruit in us by his will. We need to just stop all of that and receive with empty hands what God gives us, this gift. The gift is perfect reconciliation and friendship with God for Jesus' sake. He invites us to fear, love, and trust in him. He'd like to establish us more firmly in Christ and in his Holy Spirit so that our joy may be full in God's love toward us. He would like us to come to him in every trouble and pray to him, praise him, and give him thanks. Come to him in every trouble instead of trying to fix everything by ourselves. And have that peace that knows no end in his love and in his mercy that knows no end. But the only way that this can come about is when we are quiet and behold the works of the Lord. This is what God told the Israelites when they were at the Red Sea and they thought they were going to be slaughtered by the Egyptians. He said, "Be still and know that I am God. Behold your salvation." Then God fulfilled his word and his promises, and the Israelites thanked and praised him. That's how it is with you too. God's word comes to you, even now. He speaks to you in his scriptures. He speaks to you through preaching and teaching that is in accord with that word. He gives you his covenant in baptism. He gives you the New Testament in Jesus' blood for the forgiveness of your sins in the sacrament. These are all things that no amount of money can buy. And yet God says, "Come, eat. Come, drink." God is at work in you, creating faith, creating spiritual fruit. Jesus is the vine, and you are the branches, and apart from him you can do nothing, but in him you can have faith in God and all the goodness that flows from that. That is the fruit that God is looking for from us creatures. He does not care about buildings or technology or mountains of cash. He's looking for those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. God's word to you today is that you would embrace this gift of friendship with God that he has prepared and completed entirely for you, and that he gives to you, and enjoy it to God's glory. The peace of God that transcends all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.